Well, it's a very powerful passage. Jesus, you know, cleansing the temple. It says he made a whip out of cords. And this comes from the Wednesday night. They have the shadow stations. Our religious education students will reenact the stations of the cross. And of course, for most of his life, Jesus, he accepts punishment on our behalf to atone for our sins. But this time he's upset. He's angry, but he does not sin. His human nature is tempted, but he never falls into anything that would hurt us or anyone else or even himself. God could never sin. It's impossible for him. And yet he gets upset, which must have been a frightening scene. And I hope that you'll come Wednesday night if you have a chance to watch the kids 6:30 here in church reenact those stations. But what gets Jesus upset, of course, is money. And money does change things, and people don't like to hear about it in church. When I was a high school chaplain, sometimes the kids would write these reflections about their practice of the faith, and you'd always have one or two that say, well, we stopped going because the priest, all he did was talk about money. And that is a problem. I get it. I don't like to talk about it much myself, but I'm going to say just two words about it this morning. What, number one is that with Easter coming, the Circle of Joy, that's the Southwest Wausau Food Pantry, they're raising some funds. They want to help 14 families. And so if you want to help provide a ham or just a free will offering, there's some information in the bulletin to help feed the poor, the hungry, and Laura Reif is the contact. That's number one. The second thing is there'll be some money changers in the back of church if you'd like to go to the Finding Nemo musical coming up this weekend. They're very kind money changers, and there'll be no usury or anything like that, but they'll be selling tickets. I got my ticket online. There's a QR code, but the kids, a lot of our own students, will be performing Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. And it's a nice way to support them and the fine arts and the good that they're doing. That's enough about money, because it does upset people and I don't like to talk about it. And it does change people, right? I mean, I see how it changes college sports, all the betting and so forth. Oh, man. Right now, the over-under on the length of the homily, the deacon's got 10 bucks on that. It's going to be 9 minutes, so. And he's going to lose that bet, I'm sure. But what I like to talk about is an inscription. You probably are familiar with it. It says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Are you aware of that? It's at the base of the Statue of Liberty. 1883, this lady Emma Lazarus wrote it. And it speaks of the deep human desire to be free. And that's what God, he sent his son. Christ came to set us free. And we don't even know that we're captive sometimes, but that's what Lent is about. That's what life is about, to give us a greater freedom in our heart so that we can imitate the Lord. Now, you listen to the first reading, you say, it's all about the law. Thou shalt not, and you're going to tell me how to live, and all these rules. That doesn't sound like freedom. Well, let's just consider the law versus lawlessness. We showed this movie based on a true story in 1996. In Algeria, there were these Trappist monks. They'd lived there for many, many years, and they were serving the people. They had a little clinic because they had a doctor, and they did a lot of good things in the community. They served Christians and Muslims and anybody else for that matter. It didn't matter. They were just there to do God's work. They prayed a lot, and then one day some terrorists show up, and these people, they do whatever they want, whenever they want, and they're violent men. And sometimes they come to the monastery and they let these guys know that you should leave here if you care about your life. And there was a great division in the community. They didn't want to die. They said, well, maybe we should go back to France where we came from. And they prayed and prayed. It was a really difficult time for them. And in the end, they felt that, well, the good shepherd doesn't abandon his flock. He doesn't look at self-preservation. He does whatever he can to protect the souls entrusted to his care. And so they stayed. And one night, those lawless men came into the monastery and let them all out by gunpoint. And they were led to an inevitable and a certain martyrdom. But that final scene is one that will stay with me always, because those who were free were not the guys with the guns. They were full of shame and guilt. The Trappists, who were giving their life for their people and an imitation of their God, were free in their heart because they had kept the commandments, which are about love, about selflessness and sacrifice, about a generosity of spirit. God came to set us free, and the laws written on our hearts are meant for that. They don't inhibit us, they expand us. They don't limit us, they show us the transcendence that even now we can taste and see. If you want to be more free, just listen to those commandments. Keeping holy the Sabbath, for example. We're restless creatures. We're attracted to all kinds of things that can get us into trouble. Years ago, there was this animated movie called A Bug's Life. And there are these two flies, and there's a bug zapper. We used to have these on the farm. And the one little fly is saying to the other, "Billy, no, don't." And he's looking at the light. He's, "But it's so beautiful." And then he flies into the light. And that's the end of that fly, you know. So that's the way we are as human beings. We're attracted to things that can hurt us. And God knew that. He came and he wanted to teach us that we're meant for noble things. We can't provide rest. That comes from God. He says, "Come to me if you're weary, you find life burdensome, and you will find rest." Think of all the things that we do that make us more restless. TV and our phone and all sorts of things, media, that kind of exposes our nervous system. And it gets us all agitated, really. Think about how you're going to spend today. How do you keep holy the Sabbath? Is it a time of rest and a time to be with other people? Go for a walk, talk to someone, make a little visit to church, come to Mass. All these things are necessary if we're going to be at rest, if our heart is going to be free. That's one thing, is to consider how we keep holy the Sabbath. It's always a trap for us. I was a teacher all those years, and the kids would come in on Monday morning. They'd say, "Good morning, how are you doing?" That was their answer. I wasn't sure how to interpret that, but you know how that comes about, is that our tendency is the weekend mentality. Stay out late Friday night, sleep all day Saturday, stay out late Saturday night, sleep all day Sunday, and do all your homework sometime between midnight and 6 a.m. Monday morning. You're always going to come in a good mood. It's amazing how well that works. Keeping holy the Sabbath is about rest. And when we're at rest, we treat each other with more charity. When we're played out, stressed, anxious, and worried, we're just not our best self. The second thing is how Jesus purifies the temple. Now, this is God's temple. Think about how you behave when you come to church. It's a work in progress, but there's certain etiquette. When I walk into a Catholic church, find the holy water, make the sign of the cross, then I try to find Jesus, and then I make a little genuflection. Sometimes I go and talk to my mama, sometimes I talk to St. Joseph, might light a candle, and then you look around and you see, well, where can I sit? My place is up here with a nice cushion. Wherever there's a cushion, you'll find Father Martin, a nice soft chair. You guys are sitting on the wood. I don't know what your problem is. But anyway, and I always sit on that side of the church because, I don't know, that's where I've always sat. And it has nothing to do with he leans left and he votes right, nothing like that. Anyway, church etiquette, how we pray together, purifying the temple. But that's not the only temple that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about your body and mine. That's where he wants to dwell. Through baptism, he already does. But you can welcome him over and over again. The things that we eat, the things that we see, the things that we do, those affect us deep down inside. What the eye doesn't see, the heart doesn't want. So we have to be careful of the things we see, especially in a time where there's so much technology, so many temptations, to be careful because those things get into our heart. And we want to love. We don't want to feel shame and guilt and sadness. We want to give our life to others. Purifying the temple, keeping holy the Sabbath. If you want to be free, these are always tested, tried, and true. Now, I mentioned the Statue of Liberty, which is in New York City. And we used to take students out there on little pilgrimages, and we had a blast. New York is a fun city. I wouldn't want to live there, but Manhattan, there's a ton to see and do. And the first time I ever went there was in 1995. I was flying to Rome with my classmates, and we were going to study to become priests. And the one classmate was here last Sunday night, Father Mark Vandersteed, gave a little talk. If you want to listen to it, it's on our website. He did a really nice job. We met in the Twin Cities in the airport and had a connecting flight to New York and then to Rome, where we lived for 5 years. Anyway, we were talking about that first meeting, and it's funny the details that we each remember. I remember he had a guitar, and he remembered that he was sitting by me on the plane, and he was so nervous that he spilled his beer all over my lap. and then I was, because one memory leads to the other, there was a girl sitting on the other side of me who was very friendly and very inquisitive. and wondered if I had time when we got to New York to go have a drink. And you know what? Thank God I was sitting by a guy that could support me. Neither of us were dressed like priests, and I didn't have a heart to tell her that that's what I was heading for. That's what I was called to. That's what I was going to become. I could have gone and had that drink. Who knows what would have happened? And what happens? Well, who cares? Nobody knows. What happens in Vegas sits in the bottom of your heart. And that's where it stays until you let God forgive. He came because he knew we'd be sad if we did things that we shouldn't. He knew we'd be tempted to. And he knew that his grace was stronger. I don't know what that woman saw in me. Maybe she smelled my cologne, the beer. But anyway, but I hope she's having a good life. I hope she's found love that is of God's design. It's according to his plan. It does have rules to protect us from doing something that we shouldn't, something that inevitably we'd regret, something that would make us sad. Christ came for freedom, to set us free. And if we listen to him and obey him, we'll find a freedom that leads to joy, that leads to heaven.